It's 20 past midnight here in the Moon Room, and welcome. Yeah, welcome, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you believe. You are 120 million percent welcome here. So let me introduce myself. My name is Iosif, and I am a multiracial Unitarian Universalist, which means I think everybody has something really cool to say about what they believe, and that we are made more awesome by our differences, even more so than what makes us, you know, what we have in common. And I am bisexual, and I am gender non-binary, which means I don't identify as either male or female. And yeah, welcome, whoever you are, wherever you may be from. Whatever you believe, you are 100% welcome here, whether you are an Autobot from Cybertron or a refugee from Homeworld, you are 100% welcome here. So, let me tell you a little about what I'd like to do with this show, given that it's the first episode. So I really want to talk about art. And when I say art, I especially mean cartoons and animation and comics and visual storytelling in particular. Particularly the stuff that has really moved me, like from childhood to adulthood, and the stuff that moves us today. And I can think of no better spotlight to begin with than Steven Universe. That's right, we're going to be having a Steven Universe discussion here tonight. So, to give some of you some background, if you're just popping by because you're curious, Steven Universe is this really unique story about a young boy named Steven who lives with his three, magical godparents. And these three women, who technically aren't women, are from a far-off gem homeworld, where sentient rocks project light bodies and have all sorts of amazing abilities. Now, Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl rebelled against their homeworld when it tried to colonize Earth, led by their leader, Rose Quartz, who gave up her existence in order to make Steven's possible, because you see, Steven is half gem and half human. That is something I can really sort of relate to, and maybe some of you guys can as well, like this idea of being part of more than one world. And I think that's going to be a bigger and bigger part of all our worlds, this idea that we are more than one identity or more than one culture, that we're far more complex and amazing than that. And so there's this really moving segment from the show where basically what Rose does is she records videos for Steven, VHSs, for him to look at later. And I remember there's one video she records for him where she says something along the lines of, every time, you know, you feel joy, you know, that's you loving yourself and that's me loving being you and me loving you. And that's such an amazing thing. Because what Steven Universe really teaches us is this idea of sort of loving ourselves and cherishing, you know, the fact that we are alive and the fact that we are subject to an amazing and iridescent world where we can make things and change things and you know, eat donuts and make art and spend time with our friends and play video games and do things big and small, which are meaningful to us. And I think that's the real magic of Steven Universe, is I think each one of us who sees it really feels like it's speaking to us. Whether it's because it's one of the few shows to really kind of like abandon identity stereotypes, or whether it's just really emotional and really, you know, touches us at our core. So the YouTuber It's super effective. Faust, who's a really, really cool guy, he basically talked about anime and this idea that anime is, it can be identified as anime because of its emotional value, the fact that it can touch you at your very core. And so I wonder if Steven Universe, by definition, is an anime. If we sort of take that definition. So to give you some more background, and just for those of you who know the show really well, just chill out, relax, and hang out. So Homeworld, the gem Homeworld, is a conqueror culture. Basically, they travel, galaxies, and they conquer world after world. And in order to do this, they have a very regimented, very strict, pretty much authoritarian society based on a class system. So gems are born with a function and they carry those functions out. So Rose Quartz, she rebelled, and so partly to save Earth, but partly, for her own kind. She rebelled against, the class system. She rebelled against the idea that she is to be told, how to live. And this is only revealed a certain way through the show, but this is like something that's evident throughout. Everyone in the show, everyone in Steven Universe, is someone wholly unique. Whether they're human or gem, they like things only that they like. They have dreams that only they have, and I think we could all learn a lot from that. Life is about being the only you that you can be. And that's really interesting because in Steven Universe, you have this whole situation where gems have really low self-esteem, and that's because there are multiple types of gems are created. So for example, you have these gems called pearls, and pearls are mass-produced, and they're all designed to be servants, or basically to look pretty and to do the bidding of higher class gems. And like everyone else, I guess you could call that slavery. But imagine that. Imagine that there are 100,000 of you, and all of a sudden, for a pearl that they exist their whole life, not really seeing the value in themselves. Like Ruby, there's this a minor soldier type of gem called Ruby. This one Ruby who would eventually become Garnet. Of the Crystal Gem Rebellion, said, who cares about me? There are tons of me. And that's the true tragedy of the Homeworld Order. You see, the amazing thing about being us, about being human, is that no matter how far I'm speaking real life here, no matter how far out into the universe you go, beyond the solar system, out into the galaxy, and beyond, there will never, ever be another you. You exist only once. Only once. So, there's this whole idea that the universe is awake for a really short period of time. It slept for so long in total darkness, then it woke up, and light and life was born, and eventually it'll go back to sleep. The lights will go out, and everything will return to the dark. But there is this instance when the universe is awake, and in that instance, in those couple of billion years, which is nothing in the greater span of the universe, you were given consciousness. You woke up. Isn't that amazing? You will never be repeated, ever. Of all the power that an asteroid or a star or a quasar or a pulsar or a black hole can have, none of them are you. And none of them love the people that you love. And none of them the video games that you play, none of them drew the pictures that you drew, none of them have said the things that you said. And that is something truly extraordinary. And that is what Rose Quartz fought for. This is why she rebelled. It is the right, she fought for the right to choose who she could be, who each gem could be. That, Pearl is not identified as Pearl because she's one of 100,000 pearls, but because she is the only pearl that is her. There's only one of her. There's only one of each of us. So this gets me into the discussion of, why did Rose really rebel, but more than that, why did she feel she had to take it to the extent to which she took it? Because her war against the Diamonds, and the Diamonds are the rulers of Homeworld, cost countless lives, and Jem and supposedly human as well. So why did she do it? What was so valuable that she needed to make that point? Now, it may seem really cliche to say she fought for freedom, but let's explore this. Okay, now I don't want to use freedom, as this idea that is really super political and means you have like a certain political bias. That's not what I mean. What is true freedom? So let's dial it back a bit. So what are gems? Gems, in essence, are rocks. They are literally rocks. And these rocks have sentience, they have consciousness, and they project this sentience as light bodies. So think about it. In essence, everything that they do is merely a projection, just like their bodies. It's merely their consciousness, their sentience, interacting with the world. And I think that's a really interesting idea. So let's bring this to us, to human beings. So there's a philosopher you may or may not have heard of called Descartes. And Descartes' whole idea was, I think, therefore I am, cogito ergo sum. So this idea that he cannot prove anything. He can't prove anything is real, except for himself, except for his conscious mind, because he thinks, because he has memories which may or may not be real. His capacity to have those memories proves that he is real. The only thing that is truly verifiable is consciousness. That is what living things are. We are not, body, physical form is important, but what are we really? We are our mind. We are our consciousness. That fundamentally is what we are. Everything else is simply our consciousness, our mind, interacting with the world. So when you pick up a cup and you drink some coffee or some tea or some juice or smoothie or frappe or anything else, that's not just your hands picking up the cup. That is your will. That is your intention. That is your consciousness interacting with the world, picking up the cup. So what is the difference between you, me, any other living thing, and say a flower pot, excluding the flower, just a flower pot, or even a plate? What's the real difference? You'll say one of them is that is an inanimate object, and we are living things. But what is the difference? What is the true difference? And the simple answer is that the world changes around us. We shape and warp and morph the world around us, and we are able to do this because of consciousness, because of what I suppose many of us call the soul, because of will, intent. We have the ability to project our conscious hopes and dreams and will and wishes and likes and dislikes onto the world, and in doing so, change it. The human world, the cities and the pyramids and the monuments and the TV shows and the food and all this stuff is the result of the presence of human consciousness on this planet. Think about it. So we say, it's easy to imagine what would the Earth be like without humans. There'd be no cities, there'd be none of, there'd be no TV, there'd be none of this stuff. But what does that really mean? It means that this is a world with conscious living things on it, capable of exerting creative potential onto the world, and in doing so, change it. To think about that, doesn't that make you feel powerful? Think about it. You are not, it doesn't matter whether you're 13 or 34 or 44 or 54, you are not just this thing, this body. You are a creative entity. And it's really hard to remember that given the way society is structured, but you are a creative entity capable of literally doing anything. I do not exaggerate. I'm not using hyperbole. You can literally do anything that you can imagine. Some things are harder to do than others, but you are capable of doing literally anything. And that is what Rose Quartz fought for. She fought for this idea that gems, at their core, are conscious. They are sentient. They have will. They have hopes. They have dreams. And that they must exert this on the world. And what inspired her, what gave her this realization? humans. Human beings showed her what it means to be a sentient, living, waking, awake life form. And thus, Rose Quartz formed the Crystal Gem Rebellion Army and fought against the Diamonds. Was she successful? It's a good question. What do you guys think? Did Rose win? Was she and got homeworld to leave Earth for a while? I mean, that's true. But, you know, let's look at certain moments, like the way the Crystal Gems treated Lapis. You know, the reason Lapis Lazuli, if you guys are new to Steven Universe, she's an aristocratic, I suppose, aristocratic gem, whose function is to terraform, which is to shape entire planets, in her case, specifically the water, for colonization by homeworld. And, you know, she was a prisoner of war for a long time. You know, she was trapped in a mirror. And the Crystal Gems, you know, the good guys, they didn't let her out. They didn't talk to her. They just kept her prisoner. And, you know, there's this moment when Lapis gets out and she's enraged and she says, "You didn't even care who I was." Isn't that amazing? You know, that's what it came down to. And in that sense, perhaps the Crystal Gems lost their way, you know. That's not what something Rose Quartz would have approved of. And on Rose Quartz, you know, she's a really interesting character in herself. Super flawed. So there's something Greg says, and Greg says Greg is Steven's father, and Greg says there's no such thing as a good war. And I agree with him. I agree with him completely. And so what did Rose do? Is she a hero? Is she a visionary? Is she a murderer? She is all those things, actually. All living things are complex and full of contradictions. And I think those of you who know Steven Universe know exactly what I'm going to start talking about next. And that is the shattering, or the murder, of Pink Diamond. So, the diamonds, there are basically four of them, I suppose, that we really know of. Yellow diamond, blue diamond, pink diamond, and white diamond. And, you know, each one of them seemingly has more authority based on, you know, the amount of worlds they have colonized. And among them, you know, seemingly the most junior of these diamonds, these galactic empresses, is Pink Diamond. And we know very little about her, but we know that her only colony seemed to be Earth. And we know that Rose Quartz, the leader of the Crystal Gem Rebellion, killed her. She shattered her core. She shattered her sentience. Now think about that. That is really scary. See, with humans, you know, we don't know what consciousness is. Like, we can't touch it. You know, we can't touch our sentience. It's just there. You know? And when basically, that's where the idea of the soul comes from. It's this idea, well, why am I sentient? Why am I conscious? Why do I have thoughts and hopes? And why do I have will and intent and feelings? And so, you know, the world's religions, you know, turn to things like the soul and Dharma. So with humans, you know, we imagine that that's got to be somewhere. So we imagine that when we die, you know, it leaves us, or it reincarnates, or it becomes part of the Dharma, or it goes to heaven, or something like that. With gems, it's different. You see, gems, you can touch their sentience. Their sentience, their consciousness, is a thing. It's a physical thing. It's their gem, the rock itself, which projects their light bodies of hard light. Rose shattered Pink Diamond's gem. Think about that. She did more than kill her in the human sense. She took away her sentience. She deprived her of consciousness in a definitive and final way. Now, you know, we had Pearl and Garnet, two of the Crystal Gems, who tried to justify this to Steven. And, you know, they were telling him Rose had to do it. A diamond represents total authority. You know, the idea of a diamond on a world means that world is not free. The gems on that world are not free. So Rose had no choice but to shatter Pink Diamond in order to make the idea of freedom, the very idea of being a conscious living thing, possible. But in order to do that, she had to take it away from someone else, even if that someone else was a diamond. What a contradiction. You know? So, I'd like to bring up another issue here. So, do I think Rose Quartz was justified? I don't think she was. And I'll tell you why. I do not think killing is ever justified. It doesn't matter how terrible your enemy is. You can't kill your enemy if you are trying to, spread a positive message and trying to build a better world. Because you set a standard. And that was Rose's mistake. The war isn't over. You know, the Gem Wars isn't over. You know, Homeworld is still sending, you know, soldiers from Jasper to Aquamarine and Topaz. You know, it's not over. You know? And that is because when it came down to it, Rose played by the same rules as Homeworld. She didn't want to. I mean, it's obvious she didn't want to because, you know, Bismuth is a gem who builds stuff. Basically, she's an engineer. And this there's a specific Bismuth who was a member of Rose's Crystal Gem Rebellion. And she offered Rose a weapon that could shatter gems. And Rose turned it down. In fact, she imprisoned Bismuth for it. And let's think about that. So it's clear Rose didn't want to do things that way, but she did. She did. And that's the true tragedy of any war, is that it there is no real distinction between sides. So, you know, when Steven, you know, very recently, Steven says he wants to, you know, atone for what his mother did, and he goes to Homeworld to face trial at the hands of the Diamonds. You know, that might seem super crazy, but actually it's the right thing to do, not because he deserves to be punished for her actions, but because, you know, it has to end. You know, the Diamonds, they're living things. And as much as we disagree with their policy or what they do, they need closure for this to end. We all need closure. You know, the Crystal Gems got Steven, but the Diamonds lost Pink Diamond. And I think it's really brave and really amazing that Steven stepped onto that ship and said he was going to, you know, bring this to an end. Not by fighting, but by, you know, engaging with the Diamonds. So we'll, you know, by the time this podcast comes out, we might already know how that turns out. But it'll be interesting to see. So was Rose justified in killing Pink Diamond? No. Should she have killed Pink Diamond? No. No. And I think that's the beauty of Steven Universe, is Steven is supposed to be better. Isn't that amazing? You know, her son is supposed to be better. He's supposed to find other solutions to this problem. He's supposed to win a gem war without fighting a gem war. You know, I think Bismuth once said, "You really are better than her," when Steven said he would tell the other Crystal Gems the truth about what happened between Bismuth and Rose. And I think it's amazing that you know, Steven is using his creativity to solve this problem. Because that's the thing. The true magic of being a living thing, the true magic of being human, is our capacity to exert creativity, is to think stuff up. You know? And I you guys might know, you know, the Green Lantern Corps from DC. And it's this idea that they can kind of, like, you know, create constructs from their lantern rings based on what they imagine. And that's a really cool metaphor, because that's what being a living thing, what being human is about. And Steven does something amazing. He says, "I am going to come up with a solution to this problem." And, you know, what is killing, what is murder? It is, in effect, the result of a lack of imagination. If you have to hurt someone to get your point across, then you're not engaging your imagination. And that's the difference between, you know, arguably, you know, Rose and what she intended for the Crystal Gems in Homeworld, is Homeworld did not have the imagination other than to conquer and to fight. That's the true beauty of Steven as a character, the Fort Rose Quartz represented. and the crystal gems. And what is a big part of creativity? It's change. It's the fact that we must all change. Everything must change. So Lapis Lazuli, the former villain who terraforms worlds with water, you know, eventually, you know, she comes on side with Steven and the crystal gems. And, you know, she's really resentful towards the Earth because it's where she was kept prisoner for thousands of years. Now, that's totally understandable. But, you know, and she says, "But I'm still on Earth." And what does Steven say in response? He says, "Yeah, but nothing is still on Earth." You know, this idea that everything changes. The world constantly changes. The world we were in now is not the same as it was 5 years ago and 10 years ago. And I'll share this with you. Like, it makes me a bit emotional, but I've survived based on this notion, that things change, that the world changes, and I have to change. You know, when I was a teenager, you know, I grew up around a lot of violence and a lot of anger, and I hung on to this idea that things have to change. I will change things. Because I am capable of telling a story. I am capable of imagining something better. And so is the rest of the world. The world will imagine something better and it will change. And I think we all need to keep in mind or to keep that in mind. And no matter how bad things might seem sometimes, you know, everyone says this, but where there is life, there is hope. And that is literally, think about that. Where there is life, there is hope. Why is there hope where there is life? It's because life with its is capable of imagining things. And as long as there is the capacity for imagination, there is the possibility of change, because imaginations create change. Imaginations are will and consciousness, and they alter the world. I really believe that. And I don't simply believe that, I know that. So whatever situation you may be in, you know, you really need to believe that you can change it, that it can change, that we can change. Do not be afraid of changing. It's a good thing. It's growth. It's exploration, discovering new things, you know, every day. Change a little bit, just a little bit, every day. That's a running thing through Steven Universe. You know, we had Peridot, who's this, you know, is, you know, endearing, but, you know, relatively sociopathic. I don't know, sociopathic for a word, but really violent villain. And, you know, a season or two later, and she's like this adorable, like, earth-loving, amazing gem. She's still her, though. You know, she's changed, but she's still at core. She didn't have to become a completely different person. She just grew. And that's really cool. And, you know, the same thing for Lapis. And I don't know when this podcast will be released. It might be evident by then, but, you know, maybe it'll be the same for Topaz and Jasper. Wouldn't it be amazing if Steven changed a diamond? Wow. You know, could you imagine that? If he reached out and changed the mind and the heart, the gem of a diamond. How that would shake things up. How that would change the narrative on Homeworld. A diamond who could change. You know, maybe there's something there with regards to Pink Diamond. We don't know what she was really like. You know? So these are all, you know, amazing things that that come out of Steven Universe, you know, beauty, hope, empathy, love. And so, you know, when I say love, you know, what am I talking about? You know, I'm not necessarily talking about love in the romantic sense, but rather love in the romantic sense is a part of a wider positive energy. You know, live with love. And what does that mean? It means being all of yourself, all of the time. Literally, be all of you all the time. Live as you. You know, people turn to ideologies, whether that's capitalism or communism or socialism or liberalism or you know, even like, you know, some weirdos turn to fascism and, you know, and hypernationalism and all this stuff. All these things. Why do we need that stuff? You know, we don't need that stuff. We are ourselves. You know, we are full of our very own countless beliefs and ideas, and we do not need, you know, external ideologies to exert ourselves on the world. So that is what love is. It's literally you know, being you to the, your very possible fullest potential. And, you know, think about it, you know, when we talk about romantic love, what are we talking about? We're talking about the act of exchange. We're talking about the exchange of one person's consciousness, one person's sentience, one person's will with another's. The act of sharing. The act of recognizing that I have something in you that I can connect with. You know, that is love, fundamentally. So, the Steven Universe is filled with it. You know, it's filled with this idea of being yourself and sharing that with the world, you know, in a million, million, million different ways, which only you could. And that's, I think, something we should really take away from the show, is to be ourselves to the very best that we can be, and to always discover, you know, who are we really. And, you know, that when Rose talked about loving yourself, what was she talking about? She was talking about getting to know yourself and finding out, you know, what it is you think about things and what it is you hope for yourself and for the world and for your passions. You know, that's loving yourself. It's really sharing, you know, who you are with you. And so we're ready to share that with others. And yeah, Steven Universe is absolutely full of all of that.
Listen, everybody.
So thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out. It's been really cool. So basically, this podcast is part of a wider thing called Hey Stories or Hey Studios, and that is basically this thing I started with some other people, where we basically make art and make stories and create stuff in the hope of kind of, like, you know, making a positive difference in the world. And, you know, we're currently working on, like, starting an animated series. We created an animatic, you know, stories ranging from superheroines from the Middle East to, you know, a little girl who explores a solar system that is inhabited to the brim, to, you know, we have loads. Like, it's on the tip of my tongue, but we have loads of stories. And yeah, so this podcast is like a part of that. So hey, for your interest, comes from the word hey baraki, which is the Korean word for sunflower. And it's this idea that the sunflower is more than an object, it is a concept. It is this idea of turning upwards, turning in a positive direction constantly. And it's interesting because I forget which language it is, but I think it's in Turkish. The sunflower is referred to as a moonflower. And since we do this podcast at night, it made sense to refer to this as the Moon Room. So thanks again for hanging out. And if you want to hang out some more, you can catch us on the next episode, or you can, you know, send us a message on facebook.com/heystories, which is H-E-I stories. You can go to heystories.com to explore more stuff. You know, there's a link on there which will take you to our library, where you can, you know, purchase some of our stories if you wanted to, and you can read some for free as well. You can listen to some of them on YouTube, but you can find it all on www.heystories.com. And yeah, thanks for hanging out. And yeah, you know, wherever you are, wherever you're from, you're welcome next time and every time. Love yourself and love the world, and catch you soon. Good night. Thank you.